You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. There are corporate sponsors for stadiums, events, maybe even certain programs on college campuses. But what about K through 12 schools? Some districts in Wisconsin are warming up to the idea. We'll learn about how it works coming up. First, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says alcohol is at least partly to blame for the deaths of 88,000 people each year in the United States. There are a number of solutions out there aimed at bringing that number down, things like raising the alcohol tax, restricting sales, and creating stiffer penalties for drunken driving. Problem is that there are significant roadblocks to nearly all of them. Jeremy Arney is an assistant professor of political science and public administration at UW-La Crosse. He studies alcohol policy here in the state. Jeremy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, we're talking a lot about alcohol in Wisconsin over this couple of weeks. What are your thoughts on why Wisconsin has a problem with alcohol?
It's just, you know, you've probably heard this over the last 2 weeks on your program. It's the culture, the alcohol culture in Wisconsin, and it's you can see it politically, you can see it locally, you can see it every day, and it seems to be in the back of people's minds but never on the forefront. So I think that we haven't had the political will so far to address alcohol issues, and especially in your opening talking about stricter OWI laws and increasing the beer tax.
Let's talk about that beer tax. You were on with us some years back and made the case. So right now, you buy alcohol in Wisconsin, it's subject to the state's 5% sales tax. And then there's an excise tax per gallon. Beer right now, it's different for beer, wine, and alcohol. Right now, if I'm reading the latest data, it's 6 cents a gallon, putting us, I think, second lowest in the country. Talk about our beer tax.
Yes. So speaking of the political will, it's been 50 years since we've increased the beer tax. And you just mentioned it's the second lowest in the country. We're always complaining about the condition of our roads, more money for schools, and 'tis the season for budgets these days. And the beer tax would be a perfect example of it makes sense to increase it so you can gain revenue and then also give money for treatment and prevention programs. But it just hasn't caught on, and it's just a really dead in the water policy solution here in this state.
Do beer taxes or alcohol taxes in general discourage people from drinking in the first place?
Yes. There's several studies that show that just a slight increase will decrease excess drinking behavior. It also decreases alcohol-related vehicle accidents, vehicle fatalities. It decreases disruptive behavior from college students. So there's several reasons why increase in beer tax would be a good policy solution here. But like I mentioned, the political part of it is really difficult.
Now, our excise tax for liquor is $3.25 per gallon, wine, 25 cents a gallon. Again, beer, 6 cents a gallon. If you got to move the slider yourself, where would you like to see the beer tax in the state?
Well, currently, it's at for just a bottle of beer, it's under a penny. So it's 0.6% of a cent. Compare that to Alaska, where their beer tax, state beer tax, is $1.21. So we got a lot of room that we could work with. The last time a legislator tried to introduce a beer tax increase, they wanted 2.4 cents to increase it all the way to 3 cents per bottle. I think that that's kind of ridiculously low, and I've been laughed at across the state sometimes because I say I just go with the whole dollar because look how much money we could make. We could make
– $1 per bottle.
$1 per bottle. We would make over $1 billion in revenue for that. But of course that gets laughed at. But going at it, trying to expend all these political resources to just increase it by 3 cents or a nickel, or the local taverns aren't going to increase their pints by 3 cents or a nickel. They're going to probably go a quarter. So at least try to reach for something like that, a quarter or 50 cents. That's what I would implement.
Jeremy Arney is with us from UW-La Crosse talking about alcohol policy here in the state, what might help to reduce harmful drinking here in the state. Jeremy, do you see in the realm of the possible a change that Wisconsin could make maybe this go-round?
Well, this go-around in the legislative
yeah.
session? No. I see all pro alcohol industry, all pro drinking bills that are being put into place. I do not see the OWI issue getting more strict because it's a cost. And so that's what the opponents that haven't, you know, every year we try to make sure that our first offense for an OWI is more than just a traffic ticket, that it's actually a criminal offense. But that just seems to go nowhere because it costs a lot of money to enforce that type of policy solution. And we don't have the money to put more police officers on the roads, nor to give money to the district attorneys to prosecute these cases. So if we were going to enforce more stricter OWI laws, it's just a financial situation here.
How about ignition interlock devices? We talked to someone from Mothers Against Drunk Driving the other day. That was one of their big priorities for the state. Do you think expanded use of ignition interlocks is a possibility?
Yes. And once again, those should be – that's a cheap way for the state to implement a more strict policy when it comes to drinking and driving. So most of the cost is going to be placed on the person that drinks and drives, the violator. They're the ones that are going to have to pay for the ignition lock. And it seems like it seems a way to go, but I have not seen, and I just briefly looked at about a dozen different alcohol bills that are in place right now, and I haven't seen anything to do with interlock devices at all.
When it comes to the harm from alcohol, a lot of people might think of drunk driving, of course, the risks of binge drinking. One that may not get as much attention is falls among seniors mm-hmm. in Wisconsin. Do you see, and we have, we've talked about this on the show, we have more falls, more hazardous falls for seniors, a lot of evidence that's alcohol related. Do you have thoughts on solutions to that?
Yes. So in the last few years, the clinical and medical professions have been instituting this ESPERT thing, which is the screening, brief intervention, and referral for treatment. So that's the acronym ESPERT. And that has done a lot of positive things throughout the country, not just in Wisconsin, but it's evidence-based. And there was just a study that was done within a month ago that asked nurses in a community nursing home, you know, what are their attitudes towards binge drinking or heavy drinking by older people? And then they were given some education. And then after they were given that education, they actually went out and implemented these interventions. And just from that education itself, after the 3 months that they were trained, they actually reported 241 different interventions, something that they probably wouldn't have done without that education. So, and it is important, as you mentioned, about falls in Wisconsin, because we lead by far, and you've heard this probably on your program, by far the amount of falls by the elderly in the nation. And a lot of that's tied to overconsumption of alcohol.
We're talking about legislative and other efforts to cut down on problem drinking in Wisconsin. Jeremy Arney is with us, Assistant Professor of Political Science and Public Administration at UW-La Crosse. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What alcohol-related policies would you like to see? Would you like to see the state legislature pass? How do you feel about the idea of raising the beer tax or putting limits on sales, availability, when and where you can buy alcohol? And how about penalties for drunk driving, first-time offenses? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about some of the legislative options to reduce problem drinking in Wisconsin. Jeremy Arney is our guest, Assistant Professor of Political Science and Public Administration at UW-La Crosse. He also researches alcohol policy in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of changes would you like to see in Wisconsin to address the state's problems with alcohol, to reduce the harm from risky drinking? Do you think anything's going to change? What would you think about the beer tax going up? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go to our callers, Jeremy, in a few minutes, we're going to hear a piece about how medical professionals are at risk of excessive drinking. Are you aware of any policies in place specifically to help maybe paramedics, surgeons, or other people in high-stress jobs like that?
No, and that was a great question that your producer brought up in the email that he sent me. I looked into, you know, I mentioned the ESPERT thing, and so we have professionals that are actually screening the general public and to make sure that they're not over-consuming, to put them in a treatment referral program. But that was a great question about what do you do for those that are providing that screening process that actually might have an alcohol issue themselves. And there's nothing that I could find policy-oriented-wise besides maybe going to the med schools and the nursing schools to address that issue up front right there. But once again, that the one study that I did find was in Canada dealing with the med students, and then there was a thing about doctors in the UK. But it's a really good question, and it's amazing, and I think that that stumps a lot of people. I had never thought of that myself, and just by perusing through the, you know, trying to do an initial research on it, there really isn't much. There was one study done that just talked about descriptively that police officers drink a lot, and so there you go. And then the males drink a little bit more than females, but they don't really go into, well, how do we help them? There's no policy solutions there. And so I think that there's that's an area that needs to be looked at for the caregivers need to be given some care themselves.
Let's bring on a caller now. Jim is with us at Spring Green. Jim, hi.
Hello. I have three ideas I'd like to put out there. Number one, we're the only industrialized country in Western civilization anyway that has a 21-year-old drinking age. Everybody else is 18 or 19, some as early as 16. And if we did that, we could still keep the not a drop law. I propose going to 19 to keep it out of high schools, expand the not a drop law to age 25, and have first offenders at any blood alcohol level get ignition interlock devices.
And the not a drop law, Jim, meaning no alcohol at all if you're driving?
Until you're 25. What do the car rental companies know that we don't know? You can't rent a car until you're 25. And then the last thing I would say is the idea of criminalizing the first offense, even though other states have misdemeanor status, hardly anybody goes to jail on a first offense. If your blood alcohol level isn't real high, if you cooperated and you agree to education programs, they don't impose jail terms in most places, including our neighboring states.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there. First of all, that idea, and we hear this often, Jeremy, lower the drinking age, and that's going to make less of a mystique about alcohol, I guess, for youth?
Yeah, that is probably not a good idea. Just physiologically, we have frontal lobes in our brains that don't fully develop until we're 25. So if we start drinking alcohol at an earlier age, those don't really get fully developed. That's just one issue I could come up with in terms of the drinking age. And already Wisconsin has an issue, and still on the books, where parents can bring their kids into the local taverns and they can drink with them too. I think we're one of two, if not the last state to be able to do that. And so I think we should address that before we lower the drinking age.
And then that idea of ignition interlock on the first offense.
I love that idea. That's a great idea. I think that Jim is spot on in Spring Green.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jim. We'll go now to Steve Intrigo. Steve, hi.
Yeah, over the years, the issue of drunk driving in particular has solutions have focused on trying to get people to quit drinking, depending on their diagnosis following assessment and so forth. And I think not enough attention has been put on the expansion of mass transit, safe ride programs through the Tavern League, rural bus routes like we have up here in northern Wisconsin, obviously bus routes in places like Madison, Milwaukee, Eau Claire, Green Bay, so forth. And I think mass transit in particular would help the issue of drunk driving, and I'd just like to hear what your guest has to say about that.
Steve, thanks for the call. So transportation for people, say, getting home from the bar, among other things. What do you think, Jeremy?
The mass transit idea is great. Now, whether it's politically feasible, we've seen already we've tried to put in mass transit in certain areas and it just hasn't gotten the funding to do that. And here in La Crosse, we have something that people, the students asked for busing to go to the bars. So basically they call it the drunk bus. And so they get rides to and from the bars, and that has cut down on drinking and driving for sure. But then we should probably think about, are we catering to the young adults to be able to just take them there and then kind of encourage them to not be responsible in their drinking behavior because they don't have to? It's a kind of a cultural, political question that I find interesting. But I do think that increasing the availability of mass transit would help cut down on our drinking and driving.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Jeremy, at the outset, you said culture is part of the problem. You just mentioned it there as well. Are there things that can change that cultural attitude toward drinking?
So in the I studied the policies and the legislative aspect of it, and I am discouraged by what I see being put out there. There's, I've mentioned it before that if you try to increase a beer tax, then it's pretty much political suicide across the state because nobody's going to be interested in supporting you if you're going to increase their sacred drink, the blue-collar thing that they're going to be drinking every day after work for the whole year. Now, I am encouraged by what happens at the local level, and there are lots of things that people can do across the state in the communities because that's where you see you're more affiliated and you know when things happen and you know other people and you want to take care of them. And so I've been very encouraged over the last few years to see community level efforts to address binge drinking. And I think that there's lots of good things that have been done for that, like keg registrations and things like that. So it comes back if there's a party and someone gets injured, then whoever got the keg is going to be held responsible. Little things like that, open container laws. So local level ordinances can be used to trump the things that aren't encouraged or the lack of political will at the state legislative level.
We'll leave it there for now. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jeremy Arney is an assistant professor of political science and public administration at UW-La Crosse. We talked to him about various policy ideas to curb problem drinking in Wisconsin. Some of the people who work to care for others can have a hard time making sure that they get the care they need. Those in high-stress jobs like nursing may turn to alcohol to cope. Now the field of nursing is trying to help these helpers find ways to help themselves. WPR's Jenny Peek reported on the issue of alcohol abuse among nurses for our ongoing series, High Tolerance. Here she is talking to host Brady Carlson.
Some of the people who work to care for others can have a hard time making sure they get the care they need. Those in high-stress jobs, like nursing, may turn to alcohol to cope. And now the field of nursing is trying to help these helpers find ways to help themselves. WPR's Jenny Peek reported on the issue of alcohol abuse among nurses for our ongoing series, High Tolerance, and she joins me now with more. Jenny, let's start with the story of a nurse you met who says after these long, hard 12-hour shifts, she would start unwinding at the end of the day with a glass of wine. But then what happened?
I talked to a nurse named Ryan, and she was really open in telling her story that she worked in a job where she was kind of filling in the craziest portions of the hospital, seeing a lot of trauma, working 12-hour shifts, and she would get home and her adrenaline was just pumping. And she started relying on a glass of wine or two to calm down at the end of the day.
I don't know what light went off in my head, but part of it was like I realized that I was drinking every night that I got home. And like for Wisconsin, it wasn't a lot. It was like maybe two glasses of wine. But like I felt like I needed that wine. Like I needed a drink when I got home. And that's not a good way to live your life.
She ended up switching jobs. And this is fairly common for nurses that are super stressed. They go to a different part of the hospital. They go somewhere that is maybe more stable, less traumatic. And she also switched to nights, which for her just ended up working. She said it felt way too weird to drink when she got home in the morning. She said that alcoholism runs in her family, so it was something she was really conscious of.
There are two concepts you wrote about that are particular to nurses that make alcoholism of particular concern. One is known as compassion fatigue, and the other is the super nurse phenomenon.
Definitely. So first, I want to point to this 2016 study that measured the impact of stress and the ability to cope among nurses. It found that 90% of those surveyed had moderate to very high levels of stress, 78% of nurses slept less than 8 hours a night, and 22% were classified as binge drinkers. So that stress is clearly affecting them. Compassion fatigue is basically an indifference or inability to provide compassionate care because of the constant exposure to other people's pain and suffering, while sort of feeling powerless to make a difference. And this super nurse phenomenon that I mentioned is something Lindsay Stege, an associate professor at UW-Madison, wrote about. And she describes it as this mindset and stigma that basically shows that nurses can't seem weak at all, even though they're dealing with this really intense job. So it's a culture within the profession that you're not a real nurse if you haven't worked 12 hours without going to the bathroom or taking a break, or you're not a real nurse if you haven't worked 5 shifts in a row. And this mindset can make it so people don't ask for help. And this is something that Gina Denick Champion, the CEO of the Wisconsin Nursing Association, found as well.
We have our nursing code of ethics where we are responsible for our patients and for taking care of our profession, one another, as well as taking care of ourselves. And I think nurses from time to time will really fall short on taking care of themselves because we take care of everybody else first.
So what are nurses now trying to do so that people aren't trying to turn to alcohol abuse as a coping mechanism?
Yeah, so there are a lot of programs that offer wellness programs, yoga, meditation, having a gym in the hospital so that if they want to work out, they can do that. But a lot of experts point to starting with nurses in nursing school, teaching students right off the bat about the dangers of stress and what healthy coping mechanisms are, showing them that you can take a break or you don't have to work 12 hours in a row, and kind of break down that culture that that's okay, that doesn't mean that you're weak. Nurses are still extremely strong and they are super, but you can be a super nurse without hurting your health.
WPR's Jenny Peek, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brady.
You can look at all of WPR's reporting on alcohol in Wisconsin in our series High Tolerance. Find that at WPR.org/alcohol.